Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're continuing our study of Rabbi Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Two main themes in this section, verses 12 through 20, limits to liberty and reasons to avoid sexual immorality. Ties in well with what Jerry had to say about Samson. Christianity is about Christ. Messianic Judaism is about Messiah, having a close personal relationship with Messiah. It's about having the Spirit of the Father and the Son living in us, teaching us, guiding us, transforming us into the likeness of Yeshua. The emphasis of the New Covenant is faith. It is not law. It's about walking by the Spirit. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. Because of this, we have tremendous freedom. However, liberty can be taken too far. And some of Messiah's followers in Corinth, or at least those who claim to be Messiah's followers, were tempted to take their liberty too far, especially in the area of sex. The rabbi understands their errors in their thinking and begins to address them. Verse 12, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy them both. So here's what some of the people in Corinth were thinking. Since I am not under the authority of the old covenant, the Sinai covenant, since I am under grace, not law, I have the right to do anything. Liberty. Freedom. And to a degree, they were right. I have the right to do anything. So if my body has desires, there's nothing wrong with fulfilling those desires. Eating is a function of the body, and there's nothing wrong with eating. Sex is a function of the body, and there's nothing wrong with engaging in sex. Just as food is designed to be digested in the stomach, so our bodies are designed to have sex. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with consensual sex, casual sex, or engaging the services of a prostitute. After all, it was perfectly legal in the city of Corinth. Legal. And since sex is a natural function of the body, it only affects the body. It doesn't affect the soul. It doesn't affect my relationship with God. This is what some of the people in Corinth were thinking. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. It's true that food and the stomach will not last in their current forms. Our bodies will be resurrected one day. Our bodies will be different one day. We will not have stomachs like we have now, which digest food like we eat now. However, that does not mean that our bodies are unimportant. They are very important. And what we do with our bodies is very important. When it comes to what we do with our bodies, it's good to know the law, the Sinai covenant, and what the law says we should do with our bodies and what we shouldn't do with our bodies. But we also need to ask ourselves some questions. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Before we do something, we should ask ourselves the question, I may have the right to do this, but is this beneficial? Will it help me? Will it help others? I may have the right to do this, but will this lead me to being mastered by what I am considering doing? I have the right to drink 10 cans of soda each day and eat as many potato chips and Twinkies as I want each day. I have the right to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes each day and never exercise, but I have to ask myself the question, is this beneficial? Perfectly legal. I have the right to do it. Is it beneficial? I have the right to drink alcoholic beverages, but if I do, will I be mastered by it? Will I become a problem drinker? Will I become an alcoholic? It's perfectly legal in places in Michigan to gamble, but is it beneficial? Will I be mastered by it? These are the kinds of questions those under the new covenant need to ask themselves to help guide them in their freedom, in their liberty. When it comes to what we do with our bodies, we should ask ourselves another question. Does this honor the one we have given our highest allegiance to, the Lord? Rabbi Paul continues, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The rabbi is telling us that our bodies are only to be used to honor God, because our bodies are for the Lord, and the Lord is for our bodies. That means that the Lord wants to use our bodies to serve Him and His purposes, His agenda. And our bodies are only to be used to serve Him and His agenda. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Our feet are to be used to go where the Lord wants us to go and bring the good news to a dying world. Our mouths are to be used to praise the Lord. Our eyes are to be used to see a world in need. Our ears are to be used to hear the cries of the suffering. Our hands are to be used to do what is right. Our minds are to be used to think godly thoughts. Since our bodies are for the Lord to use, and the Lord wants to use our bodies for His purposes, our body should only be used for things that honor Him and serve Him. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Our bodies are important and are only to be used to honor the Lord because they will be resurrected one day. The rabbi continues, by His power, God raised the Lord, referring to Yeshua, from the dead, and He will raise us also. Just as the body of the Lord Yeshua was raised from death, these bodies, our bodies, will also be raised from death. These bodies, although in a different form, will have an ongoing existence. Don't you want your body, which will have an ongoing existence, to only be used for things that honor the Lord? Do you want your body, this body, which will be resurrected, to be used to dishonor the Lord? Our bodies are only to be used to honor the Lord because they are parts of Messiah. They are members of Messiah. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Messiah Himself? When we come to faith, When we believe that Yeshua is the resurrected Messiah, the Son of God, the living Lord, we are united to him. Messiah lives in us by means of his Spirit living in us. We become part of him and he becomes part of us. That means that our bodies become part of him. Our bodies are members of Messiah himself. He's living in us. He's living by his Spirit in our bodies. Our bodies are members of Messiah himself. That raises another question. Shall I then take the members of Messiah and unite them with a prostitute, even if it was legal in Corinth? The rabbi answers his question, never. We should never unite our bodies, which are members of Messiah himself, to someone who is in a state of holiness, unholiness, like a prostitute. Paul asks and then answers another question that further gives explanation. And as he does so often in his writings, he reinforces his teaching with a quote from the Word of God. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Well, of course, that's a famous quote from the Torah, from Genesis chapter 2. The two become one flesh. Paul understood that there is no such thing as casual sex. When a man and a woman have a sexual relationship, they become one flesh. However, becoming one flesh is more than just a mere joining of the bodies. It's also a joining of their souls. When our bodies are joined, our souls are joined. But the soul of a follower of Messiah has already been joined to the Lord. Whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. When we come to faith, when we believe that Yeshua is the risen Messiah, the Lord, the Savior, the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord, lives in us. At a very deep level, we are united to the Lord by a sharing of spirit. Whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So, when we have sex with someone who is not our marriage partner, we are creating a spiritual bond with that person because we're becoming one flesh with them. We are joining our soul to that person who is doing something wrong. Not our marriage partner. But at the same time, our soul has already been joined to the Lord. If a follower of Messiah has sex with a prostitute, his soul is being united to her, but at the same time, his soul has already been united to the Lord. And so he is uniting the Lord to a prostitute, and the Lord does not want to be united to a prostitute. If we have sex with anyone outside of a God-ordained marriage, we are joining the Lord to someone who is in a state of unholiness, a state of rebellion against God. And the Lord, who is holy, does not want us to be joined to someone who is in rebellion against him, someone who is in a state of unholiness. Does that make sense? Because the joining of the bodies of a man and a woman creates a bond, between their souls, sex should only take place in marriage. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. It is exceptionally harmful, exceptionally destructive to human life. Knowing this, if we are wise, we will put safeguards in place so that that does not happen. The rabbi continues, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. If we are married, the joining of our body and soul to the body and soul of our marriage partner is a very good thing. Sex creates a bond between the husband and the wife. It brings them closer together. It helps them stay together. Sex outside of marriage also creates a bond between souls. So when the relationship ends, the bond does not end. A sexually immoral relationship has a lasting impact on the souls of the people involved. Other sins that involve the body, like eating too much or drinking too much, can be fixed. You eat too much, you can go on a diet, you get more exercise, and you can repair most, if not all, of the damage that you've done to your body. But the damage to the soul caused by sexual immorality, this bonding that takes place, cannot be undone. That connection is always there. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Our culture lies to us by telling us that there is nothing wrong with engaging in sex outside of marriage. Sex is a natural desire, and it's right to act on that natural desire. It's good to act on that natural desire. It's unnatural not to act on that desire. That's what our culture tells us. The Creator tells us that sex inside of marriage is good, but sex outside of marriage is bad and harms us. Our culture encourages sexual immorality, but the word of the Lord tells us to flee from sexual immorality, to run from it like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife who was trying to seduce him. Another reason why our bodies must be used only to honor the Lord is because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? The God of Israel is the kind of being who wants to be very close to his people. He wants to live among us. He wants to even live in us. Before the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, God lived with his people to a limited degree by manifesting his Shekhinah, his glorious dwelling presence, in the temple in Jerusalem. But access to the presence of God was very limited. But with the arrival of the Son of God and his death to atone for sin and his resurrection to overcome death, God is now able to live with human beings and in human beings to a much greater degree. The Spirit of God is able to live in human beings who become loyal to God the Father and God the Son. They become the temple, the place where the Holy Spirit of the Holy God lives on planet Earth. Just as the temple was the epitome of holiness, It was a holy house with a holy place and a most holy place in the holy city of the holy land of the holy people, served by a holy priesthood offering holy sacrifices. So Christians and Messianic Jews are to be holy. Just as the temple needed to be kept holy, our bodies, which are temples of the Holy Spirit, need to be kept holy. They need to only be used for holy purposes. Our bodies must only be used to honor God for another reason. They no longer belong to us. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. The price to buy us from the satanic slave market of sin and death, to which all humanity is enslaved in, was the incarnation, the suffering, the death of the Son of God. We have been bought with a price, a very high price. We have been bought with a high price, therefore we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God who has purchased us. If I buy a car, I have the right to drive that car where I want to drive that car. If I buy a dog, I have the right to train that dog to do what I want that dog to do. That's my right as the owner. God now owns us. We have been bought with a price. He has the right to tell us how to live. He has the right to tell us how we can and how we cannot use our bodies. And he tells us to only use our bodies to honor him, not dishonor him. The rabbi concludes this chapter, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Some final thoughts. Sexual immorality was a huge problem in the city of Corinth 2,000 years ago. Sexual immorality is a huge problem in our society today. Sexual immorality is a problem in Messiah's community today, just as it seems to have been a problem in parts of the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago. Our attitudes about sex need to reflect the Word of God, not today's sexually immoral culture. Amen? God is the creator of sex. He made us male and female. By creating us male and female, men and women are able to come together in marriage and become one flesh. They are able to bond with each other physically and soulfully. This meets their needs for companionship. This helps them cleave to one another, stay together. This helps them have stable families in which the next generation can be raised. This is God's design for sex. This is God's will. This is God's purpose. This honors God and helps people. The misuse of sex, sexual immorality, dishonors God and hurts people, no matter what your lying culture tells you. It harms us at a very deep level, a soul-spirit level. It can create emotional scars. It can create feelings of guilt that may be very hard to overcome. It can result in a loss of self-respect. It can cause others to lose respect for us. It can create memories that can interfere with intimacy with our spouse. It can produce a hardened heart so that we look at people not as full human beings, but as mere objects of our sexual gratification. It can desensitize us. It facilitates shallow relationships with the opposite sex. It can result in a deadened conscience that may affect our ability to know right from wrong in other important areas. It furthers our tendency to be rebellious toward God. It can produce children who are raised without the benefits of a stable two-parent home. It can result in physical consequences like a sexually transmitted disease. Flee sexual immorality. Honor God with your bodies.